Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Let's take a quick break. You know it's one of my favorite things to do post-dancing rehearsal. Not gonna lie, it's putting on some sweatpants immediately and having a drink. You all know I love a glass of wine or two, but I also like to switch it up. So lately, Jason and I have been making a little cocktail at night using Rum Haven. Rum Haven believes Mother Nature did things right, so it's crafted using real coconut water and not using artificial preservatives or flavorings. It is so incredibly refreshing. I mentioned I like to add it to a cocktail, but it's also actually great over ice with a splash of club soda. It tastes like I'm on vacation, sitting on an island, somewhere far, far away, which is without a doubt a great feeling, especially during these crazy times. So make sure to follow at Rum Haven on Instagram because they post all types of these seasonal recipes. They do giveaways and tips. Plus, when you go to discover.rumhaven.com, you can find their latest blogs, quizzes, and any promotions they have going on. On one of their latest blog posts, they actually have some tips about planning your virtual watch party, which is pretty perfect since everyone's favorite reality show is back on Tuesdays. Be sure to have a little virtual drink with me, sip some Rum Haven, maybe even while you're listening to the pod. Let me know what you think.
John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10.
Welcome, everybody, to another brand new episode of the Top 10 Show on camera. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost. How are you, camera?
Listen, you all have been great watching our stuff on camera, leaving your comments. All of you have been really excited about seeing us back on camera talking
Correct.
The top 10. I know we don't have a drum yet. I know we don't have, but we still got the graphics going on. So
we
shout
do.
Out to Cody and Adam.
And I appreciate them putting in the work. There was a little snafu with
a
video, but yeah. You know,
that's going to happen.
It is. It's going to happen every once again, unfortunately. Yeah. But by and large, how good are they? 99.99 infinite beyond that the rest of the time. So it's
right.
Like, I don't even care, man. It sucks, but we'll get it right. And I know you guys will be good going forward. So we're good to go there. But that is to the people out there like, hey, shit, that sucks. Like, it got rectified. It did. But
we figured it out.
We've got Star Wars coming out again.
Yes.
And we were like, what are we doing this time for Star Wars? We've done a lot of different versions.
We really have. That's one of the perils of the show.
Yes.
Especially with Star Wars coming out every year now with a new movie almost.
And you have to talk about it.
Right. We have to do something related to Star Wars. But also because people click on it. And so it's big numbers for us whenever we do anything Star Wars. So we have to come up with a new way. We've had Ken Knapsack on to talk about top 10 like characters.
Secondary characters.
Yeah, right.
And then we've done villains.
We've done villains, which
movies.
We did live in Chicago. If you haven't listened to that episode, you should definitely listen to that episode. And because that was a lot of fun in seeing people's reactions to our list, to say the least. And so this time,
I don't know about our.
Oh, of course, the man of the people over here.
It's not just the man who has logic on his side. Because when I ask you questions,
they have logic on their side, Matt.
Yeah, but I ask you a simple: okay, if this is true, then that means this is true. But somehow for you, that second part isn't true. So that means.
Right.
It negates, or the first one invalidates the second one.
Well, to me, the answer was simple. You just didn't like it.
No, I think you needed a more coherent explanation to sway the argument to where I would see your light.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think by the end of the evening where we were, second show.
Yes.
Perhaps you were just like, ah, no, this is what it is.
I don't feel that. So I feel a lot of people came up to me and were afraid to bear the brunt of the crowd and said, yes, I agree with you. So
who are those people? Please reach out on any social media that we have, whether that's over at facebook.com/groups/ Top 10 Show. Him at The Rocha says, me at Matt Nose, or the show
plug.
At Top 10 Show. And let us know exactly who in that crowd.
Yeah. If you agree with me that Anakin does not become Darth Vader until he fully puts on the cape and the mask, so therefore he is two separate villains. He is Anakin Skywalker villain before he puts on the cloak, and then Anakin and then Darth Vader villain after he puts on the cloak. There is a distinct point.
Okay.
That's my argument.
That is your argument.
Yes.
But
in a nutshell.
He does not have the cloak when he kills the younglings.
Right. But he's still a villain. He's just Anakin the villain. He's not Vader the villain.
I think he has ceased to be Anakin.
Mm.
He has ceased to be everything that he stood for and fought for. By killing those kids and now just...
But why do you have the scene where Padme says, come back. I don't want you to go. Don't do this.
Because she's lying to herself.
Oh, now she's lying to herself.
She sees the devil in his eyes as he's sitting there on Mustafar, just, I mean, foaming at the mouth at certain points. It's his best acting in the series, hands down. His mania in that. It's fantastic. in the fight and everything thereafter. But
who's the illogical one again?
He is Darth at that point.
Nah. Not till the Emperor tells him Padme is dead, and he rolls up in that. No,
he anoints him
as Vader fully until he's.
He anoints him as Darth Vader when he kneels before he kills the younglings.
Oh, sure,
rise, Darth Vader. So he is Darth Vader.
Yeah, but someone doesn't decide who you are. You decide who you are.
I'm pretty sure he made the choice.
He just named him Darth Vader.
Well, I think the Emperor just gave him a name. But he made the choice to be Vader long before there was a name for Vader. As soon as he switches over and the Emperor's like, I got my new apprentice.
Right.
That's when it's over for him. He is Vader from that point.
He thinks he's right. And fights Obi-Wan.
So did Pol Pot.
For that reason. Well, that's a whole other ballgame.
Just saying.
He doesn't become Pol Pot until he puts on the mask and the clothes. That's my point.
Oh, dude.
That's my point.
He was Pol Pot before we knew who Pol Pot. You know what I mean? There was a Pol Pot before there was an infamous Pol Pot. So
you kids look that up.
There is a non-infamous Vader before he really cements his legacy as Vader.
Fair enough.
Or anyway,
yeah.
We wanted to agree to disagree within a show for Star Wars, which we've done numerous times.
Yeah, we have,
and you have the conversations intermittently with your friends because they like it just as much as you do.
Of course.
And most people are excited about the movie to come.
Yeah, we'll see. There's already this New York Times article that came out. There's already people trying to drum up controversy.
Of course,
that the filmmakers themselves didn't even like the movie. That the actors didn't like the movie. It's all a bunch of drama, which I think is such a terrible thing to release right before the movie's about to come out. When things have finally settled down, when people are back in love with Star Wars and The Mandalorian and looking forward to seeing what's coming,
yes.
To drop an article like that that really just riles the fan base up again, gets everybody pulling out their lightsabers and going at each other again, I think it's just a horrible mistake. And sometimes I get journalism, but I also think sometimes you have a responsibility to the society at large. And like, what's the point of drop this afterwards?
But my counter to that, and you're right. The thing is, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Morally, I might be, or ethically, I might be right.
Or just from social decorum.
Well, fair.
Let people experience it however they want to experience it, type of thing. Yes, I agree. But Star Wars is so universal that it appeals to all types of people. Yeah. Like across the spectrum, individuals that I know I am diametrically opposed to on all kinds of things, but they are a diehard Star Wars fan, and we still have that. So it encompasses so many different personality types. I think the action that you're asking for is never going to happen.
Right.
It's too ubiquitous. If it was more of a niche, yeah, you could protect it more.
Yeah.
But it's too mainstream, so there are too many assholes that can have their finger in that pie.
That's the super frustrating part of it all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Anyway, so we thought this week, because we'd seen the trailer and we see like epic space battles.
Planet sized.
Yeah.
It looks so good. Those parts look so good.
That's what I'm hoping for, man. And whatever's in between those scenes,
yeah.
Just as long as it gets me to the next thing, that's all I care about. I'm not going in looking to hate this thing.
No,
please just let me enjoy myself.
Boom.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for is just I want to have a good time.
Yeah.
That's it. Give me a Rogue One.
Yeah, right.
Just that. A solid, fantastic. I don't know how you close out this thing satisfactorily, though.
Right.
So with the Rey and the Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren and now the Emperor's back and you have to explain to the audience, oh, hey, do you remember from Revenge of the Sith this one offhanded story that you may or may not have been focused in on? Well, that's pretty big lore in Star Wars community that you don't know about.
Yeah.
So how much time do they have to spend on that? I really wish they just fast forward through it and we accept it as reality and not dwell, but I don't see how they don't do that.
No. I mean, this thing's going to be a long one.
I'm fine with
that. So they're touching on everything, man. They're going to wrap it all up.
Yeah, they've got a lot of loose ends. I got questions galore. It's going to influence how I look back at the other two, how they land this bird.
Are you the kind of person that wants her to have Force-sensitive parents or no? Rey, I mean.
I just wanted – I guess I was left longing in the last one because I was anticipating some sort of explanation.
Right.
As opposed to the we are all no one type of answer, which is fine. I was just my own expectations, and I'm not faulting them for that. so be it.
Right.
So I'm not sure exactly what I wanted to pay off for her, but I don't care if it's specifically Skywalker or not Skywalker, this or that. Just give me something at this point because you've built it up to be something.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's the thing. And I find it inconsistent, the people who are like okay with the Luke Skywalker decision but are upset with the Rey decision. I think Ryan wanted to make these ballsy decisions. Mm-hmm. Whether they were right or not is obviously a matter of subjective to your – it's subjective to you. But he said, I'm going to give her parents that are nobody. And I'm going to make Luke like an angry dude who doesn't want to be part, and then he does what he does at the end and disappears like he does. So it's like he made these two strong decisions with these two characters that were against the grain of what you would expect to happen.
Yeah.
And so I understand people being upset about it, but if you like the Skywalker decision and you don't like the Rey decision, I think you're being inconsistent. Okay. And that's my personal point of view because both of them were anti what you expected from those characters. Door to find out.
Sure.
Anyway, so today we are going to count down the top 10 Star Wars battles. Matt was very clear as I was building my list here because he caught me building my list. He goes, no lightsaber battles. This is battles, so it has to have some kind of scope to it. It doesn't have to be necessarily massive,
yeah,
but certainly a scope.
Exactly, because we did final battles, I think thanks to a suggestion from Matt Hasso show in September, October, somewhere that ballpark. And then we discussed, like, okay, what does a battle mean? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be – you can't have a smaller force if they're going up against a bigger force, but there still needs to be forces involved type of thing, at least in the battles. I remember we had some where it's like, oh, it's like four or five people deep, but they're going up against a huge number
Of
thing. Be like, that is a battle. Everybody's going to war. In this, I think if lightsaber duels are going on in the midst of or in conjunction with the story is fluidly in three different spots, sure.
Yeah.
Because they're all battling then. It's not just a one-off individual type
thing. Right.
So that happens a decent amount in Star Wars. You could easily do that.
Oh, please.
True.
Like nobody's business, man.
And I might be sneaking some of that shit in because like that's going on with this, and this is really amazing. And, you know, it's got layers. That's all I'm saying. This battle's got layers.
It's like an onion. It's got layers.
Mm-hmm. Makes you cry, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Fair point. Anyway, this is what we're going to jump into and have ourselves a little... Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
What's
why
that?
You cry?
No. The onions?
Yeah. When you break the cells, it releases a form of sulfur, but it mixes with the water in your eyes and creates sulfuric acid. And that's why it stinks. So you have sulfuric acid.
Why do I go
blind? In your eyes. Well, I guess if you kept it in there somehow.
I'm just saying, sulfuric acid, I should go blind. But I guess it's coming
out. It's minute. It's a finite amount. It's not like it's gushing sulfuric acid.
All right. Fine. I'm just saying.
Okay. So you're saying the science, you don't believe it? Fake news. Okay. Look it up right now. You have a laptop and you have the internet at your disposal.
I don't want to look it up. Okay. I want to jump into this thing. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's jump right in.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to tell them how the show works, Matt.
Once we set a topic, we go our individual ways and create personal top 10 lists. Show back up here. I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Nice.
At 10, it's a whole battle, but it's for a singular moment. In The Force Awakens, the opening troop deployment.
Okay.
With basically, it's like they're flying in APCs and they open them. It's like D-Day.
Yeah.
You know, and you're storming the beaches of Normandy. Boom comes open. They're taking blaster fire and all of them running out. But it's when Kylo comes out and he stops the blaster midstream.
Oh, okay.
And it holds there. And I was like, that is some of the coolest shit I've ever seen in Star Wars.
Okay.
That is a great introduction in this movie. Like, oh my God, what else are we doing? Because it's a small thing.
Right.
Go ahead.
I want to see if there's with a name for that opening battle. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of them I looked up and I was like, okay, that's the Battle of X or whatever the case is. I was like, it's a small village and they're just there for the map for Luke.
Right.
And Poe gets there right before and he gets it and gives it to BB-8 and then, you know, hijinks ensue. Basically.
That's perfect, man.
But.
Yeah, it's battle of the it's the battle conquest of the village.
Conquest of the village.
Yeah.
But for that in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because that to me was the amazing setup of I don't need an explanation. Oh, the Force. Yes, you could control that.
Right.
The average person I think could pick up on that. And to me, that's reminiscent of what I've heard about from people that read the books and stuff, where Jedi's throw their lightsabers and then Force manipulate it to like just whip around the room like a boomerang.
Like a boomerang. Yes.
Yeah. And then you see it in video games and stuff, and you're like, I hadn't thought about. using the Force for, you know, militarizing it like that, basically.
Right, right, right.
And then all the other realities that you create with that. So to see that in the movie for the first time, just like, boom, I'm in a tactical spot.
Yeah.
Like, he is a general, as much as they call it General Kenobi and General Skywalker, et cetera, to see someone in the shit. Legitimately.
And he's fully in control of it.
Yeah, at all times.
Right? It's a great intro to a character.
In fear of no individual out there, does not matter, can take all down.
Yeah. So many people have asked us to count down the top 10 opening, like, introductions of a character.
Okay.
This, you could argue this is in contention. Kylo, it's a great introduction to Kylo.
It is.
Right.
If you just take it on its face there.
Exactly.
So far, the payoff hasn't been good enough. Like, that setup was, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What's going on here? And this old guy knows him, so there's a history there. What's going on here? All right.
Yeah.
So far, it's still kind of left me wanting. I'm telling you, this third movie will help me understand how I feel about all of it.
It's got a lot to do. It's got a lot of work to do for you, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what you're saying.
There's some good parts and there's some bad parts. You know?
All right, so what's
that
your
number? That was my 10. My 9 is the deployment of the clones in Attack of the Clones.
Okay. Is that the Geonosis? Is that the one where they're fighting in the ring and everything like that?
But that's very specifically when the troopers come in and they land them down. So it's another, you know, troop transport thing.
Right.
But the sandstorm kicks up, and the visual of that, of them, these two relentless lines just coming to each other in the fog of war, literally.
Gotcha.
And
so you're going specific battles within the battle.
Sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes it's the broader scope.
Okay, because mine's the broader scope. So do I punt or do I?
Sure.
Do I wait?
Sure.
Okay.
Because it's that part of the broader scope.
Yes. All right. What's your number 8 then?
8 is the Battle of Coruscant.
Where do I have that? That is a punt as well.
Okay. I had a little higher, but then I rearranged.
Yeah. I can understand that. My number 10 is, and it's a little bit of a cheat.
Okay.
But it is a specific battle. And it's the battle on the skiff in The Return of the Jedi. Lando and with Luke and with...
Well, that's a pun.
Okay, great. I put it lower because of what we talked about, it being a larger thing. So because it's a kind of smaller, I moved it down.
See, that I bumped up
because
it's just like you with Attack of the Clones.
Right.
That to me is part of something else.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so this will be a fun discussion as we go along. All right, then my number 9 is the Battle of Takodana, which is the opening of The Force Awakens. Oh, not the opening, but like where they battle in The Force Awakens, where they all come in together and go at each other. Yeah.
Well, which you talk about at the very end on the Salt planet?
No, that's The Last Jedi.
Oh, which
Force Awakens of Takodana.
Oh, yeah. You talk about the Starkiller base?
Yes.
They all come together?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure.
No, Takodana is the one where they're going at Maz Kanata's place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they go and save him, and it's like, traitor, that whole thing with Finn and everything that happens there. That whole battle sequence is fantastic. Like, when they show up for the first time.
Well, the X-Wings just hovering over the water.
The water. Oh, that is an awesome, awesome battle sequence. And then Leia shows up at the end to land there.
You know what kills me in that scene? Is when Poe takes out like 4 straight TIE fighters.
Yeah.
And Finn is like, woo, what's a hell of a pilot? In the middle of a battle going on for him. And then it cuts to Poe right after. And it's just like,
yeah, I know, it's a little weird.
Why are you paying attention to that? You would be so consumed with death all around you. You're not really looking in the sky all that much.
I've had a real problem with how they've done Finn, because they make Boyega do this kind of shit. And look, Boyega's an actor. It's his job to do the lines and whatever.
Sure.
Young actor, and he's in a Star Wars franchise. He's not going to push back and go like, you know, don't give me that.
Yeah. His best credit was Attack the Block before that.
Exactly. So, you know,
great movie.
Take the money, man.
Yeah.
So, but some of the things they make him do, and God love John Boyega, he commits to them, but they really do make his character look cheesy as balls a lot of the time. And it's frustrating.
Well, I think it's, that Hydro suit thing and Force Awakens.
Yeah, right.
Jedi, Last Jedi.
He's played for jokes sometimes.
That movie did it a lot of times. The Your Mama jokes with Poe. And it's,
I can't even with that.
So annoying in the theater.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah.
How is Hux this revered to be basically the only non-force sensitive?
Yeah.
He is, what's his name?
He's essentially Grand Moff Tarkin.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. I was coming up with Admiral Ackbar and I was like, wrong side, Matt. And I was going through like military ranks, and I was like, "Yeah, but it's a fake rank. What is it? Damn it! He's Grand Moff Tarkin, and Tarkin has the fear. He elicits it from you.
Yes.
And Hux in this one, they just take him down like 20 pegs. He's a punching bag.
That's been the whole problem with those first two films. And look, I like Force Awakens, and I like certainly half, if not a little bit more than half of The Last Jedi. But there, you have to deal with some of the more cheesier aspects of it all. Okay. And yes, there was cheese ball stuff in the original trilogy, mm-hmm. but it felt endearing when you were watching it rather than cheesy. And I think when you're watching some of the sequences in Force Awakens and in Last Jedi, they feel cheesy. And certainly that one with Finn yelling up, "That's a pilot!" I mean, you know, it's just kind of what is that even about?
It just didn't make sense,
right?
That's
what I mean.
The context of
it's done for jokes,
plus
laughs rather.
If Poe can do that, man, he is the best. But like,
yeah, right.
That's the Red Baron. Every story you heard from other pilots in World War One, like that dude was just amazing, in fucking biplanes and stuff.
Right.
but watching it, I was like, that is flabbergasting. And then yeah. he happens to catch it. He just took on a dude with a lightsaber for the first time. Wasn't that like previously?
Yeah.
Previous to that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on. I do like the. Is that the scene where Han fires the crossbow and he's like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, with
that's great.
Chewie. Yeah,
yeah, there's yeah. good comedy. Like yeah. after all these years, he finally tried it. You would think he would have done it before, and boom! Oh, this thing's great.
See, and that's how you play the cheese
yes,
ball moment.
That's a great yeah. joke.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
you built to that. That's that only cements more of the. It gives you more backstory of
their relationship. Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. My stuff is my stuff. Apparently, for Chewie. All right, that's fine. He's a Wookiee. He can tear my arms off. That's fine. We're buddies.
What late night show was he on? Was he on Kimmel or was he on Fallon when he did that thing when he's like, "She was my wife," and then stormed off? Or was it Leno?
No, I think it's Conan.
Was it Conan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is just the number one moment for
me. And the
me.
You go to hell, whatever. yeah. I believe that's Conan, too.
Between Han and Chewie, that's the number one moment. All right. So my number nine is the Battle of Crait, which is the end of The Last Jedi. With the salt planet and everything like that?
Sure. I guess you could say my seven is part of that.
Okay.
I did cool. just specifically the hyperdrive jump.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, when she goes right into the thing
yes.
and explodes it? That's a separate battle, so absolutely, man.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it's part of – because they go – the whole point of that is to create – they hopefully take them out, but get everybody
right.
safely to that planet. So
right.
it's a distraction.
But there's enough of a break between that battle and the Crait
sure.
battle that I think those are two separate. So I respect that.
Okay. We'll
yeah, yeah.
talk about yours first
yeah,
and we'll
yeah.
barrel right into mine.
Obviously, Battle of Crait has a lot of to do with the Hoth battle. It's very similar to mm-hmm. that. The, you know, it's a salt planet. It looks like a snow planet, that kind of thing. But the red coming out of the plane of those ships as they
yeah.
come out is fantastic. The battle with the AT-ATs, all those huge or AT-ATs, whatever you want to say, is incredible. The sequence with Luke and Kylo at the end is part of that battle. All of that combined, the stuff with Rose and Finn, which actually works for me, all of it is just a fantastic sequence of near misses and almosts until finally that one moment mm-hmm. with Luke and Kylo. So to me, I love this battle very much, and it has enough shades of Hoth to make me excited,
okay.
but enough did it. But it also is its kind of own thing as well, which I really
yeah.
enjoy. So yeah,
the visuals, the beauty of
oh,
that,
yeah.
I think. That and the hyperdrive, which part
yeah.
of mine, are the two most stunningly visual, like visually engaging for me,
I
aspects
agree.
Of that film.
Yeah.
That's world building on a level that is beautiful to watch. And those scenes within them were pitch perfect for me.
Yeah.
Even if like the hyperdrive, if this is possible, then why don't they do this all the time?
Right.
Sacrifice
right.
a ship to take out potentially 10.
Yeah.
That's a good gamble.
It is. And I thought it was brilliant that the sound just goes out.
Yeah.
Just genius to do that.
Yeah, you're in space. There's no atmosphere to travel over.
Exactly.
As opposed to Lucas within the oil – not the oil, pardon me, the asteroid fields. And it's got to be clones, isn't it, where Django is chasing after Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah, yeah
in the
yeah.
meteor field and whatnot. Yeah. And when those hit, they gave a great sound. Like, you're like, okay, that's fine. It sounds cool as hell. I don't care, George. It's fine.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's like the hyper, hyper jump. It's like, if this is possible, then why did they do? There were a lot of tactical. I had a lot
oh.
of militaristic problems with this movie.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. From a novice's perspective, one who is not engaged
right.
in military, you know, tactics at all, just likes it from afar.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense, but that was beautiful and. The visual when those things all line up, all the AT-ATs.
That's the one I was just going to bring up. Yeah, that's a great shot. Jesus.
And I love – it makes sense where Kylo is just like everybody fires. Let's blow him into a million little pieces.
Right.
It makes all the sense in the world.
I love Hux going like, I think you got him. I think you got him. You
That's
idiot.
Fine with me. That's fine with me, those jokes. But he'd already killed me. And then he ragdolls him in the room.
He does ragdoll him.
That killed me. I was like, all right. Well, I guess with Snoke gone, who's to stop him?
Right.
So at that point, you could do that to Hux.
This is why I don't want that asshole redeemed. He is full evil now. He must die.
Kylo?
Yeah, he must die.
Sure.
I mean, if he had had that opportunity with Rey in Last Jedi in the throne room and he hesitates or he pauses or he's not sure, then I'd say, okay, redemption, because he's still struggling. But when he fucking yanks the hand away from her and goes after everybody and is mad at Luke and ragdolls Hux, this is a man who's embraced his evilness and there's no going back.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be.
That's a choice, and I would love it.
I would love it, too.
Evil stays evil for once.
Yeah. What a surprise. The real world, this is what happens.
That would be an interesting choice, and I would applaud them for it.
But it's Disney, and it's Christmas, and you know what's happening, what's going to come. So
I don't know. They didn't have Baby Yoda dolls in time for the Christmas season, so they're a little behind.
What a colossal mistake, Matt.
So dumb.
I mean, a company that's known for trying to rip dollars from anything possible doesn't think ahead of time to Baby Yoda?
How does no one have the idea?
Right.
No one has the idea. Really?
The only thing I can think of, Matt, is that they thought if we make these things, it's going to leak. People are going to see the surprise. And then we won't be able to get – we won't have the authenticity of the surprise from the first episode of The Mandalorian. That's the only thing I can think of that they – the reason they didn't put these into production. Because stuff leaks all the time from other countries.
True.
When they have pictures of Legos, because people put stuff on the internet all the time. So maybe they thought, if we start one, it's going to ruin the surprise.
See, every article I read leading up to it, because I kept reading them, there was a preponderance of why this was such a big gamble for Disney.
Right.
And reading into it, so I went to Disney actually yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Put out a call to fans and said, hey, if anybody can help me out. And a gentleman named Blair Simpson reached out and helped me and Catherine out. And
oh, that's great.
Thank you so much, Blair. We gave him some nice almond roca as a Christmas gift. And my wife makes – I'm bringing it for the production guys as a thank you for basically doing all the hard work. And we just get to show up here and
– and record.
Yeah. Talk like jackasses. Hey, thank you for editing and going through all my bullshit, man. I really appreciate that. Here's some candy. But it's homemade, you know. We put it in a nice little container.
Nothing wrong with that, dude.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anyway, I lost my place entirely.
Yeah, you were at Disney.
At Disney yesterday, you know, talking about it like there's no Baby Yoda stuff out because they were synergistically across all platforms just pushing the fact that Disney Plus was going to be in existence.
Right.
So it didn't matter where you went, what aspect of Disney's tentacle you interacted with, there was going to be a plug for Disney Plus in there. So they were so focused on this rollout and getting it right. They did as much as HBO did in 3 years in the first couple months. They got 10 million.
Right.
So they've just been so focused. That's a hit. Shit, we screwed up this once, but we got a hit on our hands. We can build.
Yeah.
But it is kind of how... How can you not put in a call right now to drop everything, produce this?
Yeah.
Just get it to them ASAP.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't know, but.
I'm not involved in these decisions.
Me either. Me either.
All right. What's your number 7?
7 was the hyper jump.
Okay.
The hyperdrive jump.
Okay. 6?
6 is the semi punt from you earlier. So the Death Star basically run as a whole.
Okay.
So Lando.
Right.
In the ship, going through the bowels of the bowels of the Death Star before it's fully constructed and whatnot, looked so phenomenally amazing.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you have the Battle of Endor going on simultaneously. And then you have Luke battling the Emperor and his father and his father's past and the galaxy's future and just all of these things happening at once.
Yeah.
To me, it was the collective effort. That's where, you could subdivide like you did. But to me, it was all concurrently happening. So it's all one battle continuously because everybody, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So this whole thing is they're fighting for survival one way or the other.
Right.
That's a battle entirely.
Well, I mean, I guess I should say, because the skiff battle that I'm talking about is from the beginning of the movie. What you're talking about is the end of the movie, right?
I'm sorry, which one were you talking about?
I was talking about
Jabba?
With Jabba.
Oh.
Right. That's a battle.
Okay.
Because it's not a massive battle, but it's a battle.
And I that's on my side
lower.
List.
Okay. I moved it lower because I was it's not a massive battle. But that's the one that I put at number 10. So Yeah, what you're talking about, I think, is what? The Battle of Endor.
Well, Endor,
so
if
that's
you want to call that.
So it's that's a punt for me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
let's talk about yours. Yeah, I almost had yours.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's total battle.
Right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, all of it.
This is one of those instances where on the good guy's side, you know, you only have 5-6.
Yeah.
But they're still taking on a huge force, mm-hmm. and there's a Sarlacc. Let's not forget
Sarlacc
about
pit.
This thing.
Yes.
They're all dealing with that at all times. So, and the elements, even if, what if they get out of here, but they destroy all their ships?
Right, right.
Well, now we're in the middle of the desert, and it looks like you guys flew for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody builds their civilization next to a Sarlacc pit. So, that's...
what's that old Kinison joke?
What's
it's
that?
It's sand.
Sand.
You know what it's going to be? 40 years, it's going to be sand.
Yeah. Just screaming about relief.
Yeah, don't build your town in the sand.
That's one of the instances where, look, I've heard a lot of jokes about that.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you lived at the time, that one was one of the best.
Yes, agreed.
That's a take.
I remember I remember the best one.
I've heard good airplane food jokes.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of mediocre ones.
Right.
Okay, I've heard this one 17 times. Every once again, though, there's one where you're like, I've never thought about it like that. Good for you. That's a good airplane joke. Or, you know, whatever it is, security line.
Yeah.
Something we all experience. There's going to be jokes about it.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, when Schwarzenegger was going to be governor leading up to and then during his tenure. You know how many Schwarzeneggers I heard?
Yeah, yeah, right.
A lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
A lot. It
in
happens.
Those clubs.
Yeah. Whenever there's something like that pops up, it's just like, oh, there's going to be a lot. You can project outwards.
Are you ever ashamed of anything that you do? Like that you're like, I got to do the joke. I got to do the joke.
No.
And you're like, I know 30 other people have done this joke, but I got to do the joke.
No, that was a long time ago.
Okay, so you don't even do that anymore. Or you don't feel shame.
Or if I do it, it's just like, yeah, but I think I have an original take.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just doing you know, I've heard that punchline.
Right.
You know, basically in different kind of words, but the exact same thing.
Right.
No. You can still go down the same avenues. You just have to find a different way to make it relatable.
To get there. Yeah.
Here's how my stupid brain works.
Right.
This is what I think of when I see this stuff type of, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's the job.
Is the job. Sometimes you're like, this is, or you go up with a half-baked premise.
Yeah, and you work it out as you're getting up there?
Yeah, but I had one that I always loved it as a half-baked premise. It was before I saw – I think it was before I saw Contact because I definitely didn't see that in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, we've been firing out radio transmissions into space.
Yeah, right.
And basically then now with cable, the advent of satellite TV and whatnot, we've been beaming signal out. So we've shown aliens, like, look how many times we've been invaded. We kick your guys' ass every time. So don't even try and come here.
Yeah.
Like, we love fucking kicking aliens' asses so much. Noah Wiley does it on a TV show. Like, that's how old the joke was, whatever that show was that Spielberg produced. And just like, but there were no punchlines. Just kept building and building. And it's like, I think there's something there. I did it like 4 times. I could never find the funny. And I was like, done. Adios.
You're good to go.
There's a billion of those.
Yeah.
Just like, I think there's something there. I'm not finding the commonality with you.
Right.
I'll get smiles, chuckles, but you need something that just, okay, that's solid. That's a banger.
You're not one of those that has like 30 notebooks or 40 notebooks around your house.
I used to.
Yeah.
It's all on my phone now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if you have an observation or something, you just go right in your phone and start writing it down.
You just write it down.
Fascinating. Okay.
Sometimes it's a full thought. Sometimes it's like 3 words.
Right. Garden gnomes.
Sometimes, but it comes back to it. I had one that I sat on for 3.5 years and ended up using just as it was a punchline that I didn't have a joke for, and it just sat on there. And then one day I wrote a joke. It was like, oh, that'll fit perfect here. And then it sparked 3 or 4 other punchlines after it that just kept built.
How
but
funny.
It was perfect. It sat there.
Yeah.
I knew it was a good punchline. It's just like, I don't have anything for this right now.
Right. Yikes.
Yeah, and I couldn't come up with one to build around it because it just seems too artificial. Like, they would see that it's all to get to this,
right.
At least in my head.
Right. It makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, where were we at? I don't remember where we were at.
Six. So my 6, which was a punt. Yours?
Oh, okay. So my 7 is the opening battle of The Last Jedi. Do we want to talk about that?
Opening battle of Last Jedi?
Of The Last Jedi. Yeah, the one with, like, the dropping of bombs and
we have not.
The mom talk, all that kind of bullshit.
Yeah,
so
the sisters.
Right, the sisters. So the mom talk, and that's not on your list, right?
No.
Okay. So the mom stuff, I agree, absolutely terrible. But everything around it is incredible. I mean, the bomb dropping stuff is phenomenal. The back and forth is incredible.
There's no gravity in space.
That's fair.
That's what kills me. I'm watching this.
Get out.
There's no gravity in space. Sometimes like the hyperdrive, but it's still played within the rules of how you set up your physical world.
Wouldn't they account for that and make the bombs a certain way so that they
could drop
straight
through? There's no propulsion.
Okay.
And the ship below it doesn't have such a massive gravitational pull that it could pull a bomb that quickly towards it.
Gotcha.
So it's not dropping. It's,
okay. This is what bothers you about it.
Well, watching that was one of many, but it was preceded by the your mama jokes.
Right, it was.
And it was like, oh, what else?
Yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, yeah.
Until it gets to the end, like that final battle that you brought up, that to me is way better.
That is a fantastic battle, right, exactly. Yeah. I just like the visuals of this battle a lot. And, okay. The bomb stuff is great. Plus, there's emotional context to this. As much as I enjoy that last battle of Last Jedi with, Finn and Rose doing better than they did in the whatever that sequence is that's in the movie where they go to that casino plane.
Monte Canto Carlo? That's what I call it in my head. Monte Carlo?
Monte Carlo. Monte Carlo is in the Canto bite scene.
Where they see people are bad. Oh, there's war profiteers. The devil uses it. Actually, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because you think the Empire would be so streamlined. They'd have all the systems in place, even though it's the First Order taking over for it. But still, when you get to that size... but perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I don't know.
But this one, I just enjoy this one a little bit more because I like the emotional way between the two sisters and everything happens with Rose's sister that's up there and all that happens. Like all of that just feels – and it's bad. You're right. And you're right. There's no gravity in space. But it's still damn,
it's cool. It's cool as hell.
Badass, yeah.
It's World War II when you're in the B-52s and you're over the target and you're like, well, got to do it now. Yep. Got to do it now. Like it's beautiful in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And the emotional stakes that they create between the two sisters is fantastic.
Right, I agree. Yeah, exactly.
It just you're taking in and out of the emotional reality of this. I care. I don't care. I care. Right. I don't care.
Right.
Although the gravity thing didn't bother me until afterwards.
Right.
Like I was thinking about it in the moment. I was still fixated upon the why would they do that to Hux?
Yeah.
Why are they? I don't understand. Why are we emasculating Hux? I thought he was Tarkin.
Yeah.
So.
There's so much about that, man.
I know, but sometimes I'll do that when I'm watching a movie and realize, oh, I haven't been paying attention for 8 seconds. I don't do it often, but every once again I'll get stuck on, so what are they saying here? And then I forget, spacing out through the action that's happening before me.
Yeah. Then my number six is the one you mentioned, a pun from earlier, the Battle of Geonosis, the Attack of the Clones. Isn't that the one you mentioned before?
Yeah.
Right. Like that whole sequence. Okay. I just love it. I mean, the idea of Jedi's in a ring. A little old school gladiator ring, and having all that happen, and like Leia finally, or Padme rather, fighting everything that occurs, Mace Windu, all of it, Jango getting his head chopped off, like all of it just works so well for me, and Yoda coming in, and all those like you said, the clones coming in, all of it just great visuals, and in a movie that isn't loved by anybody, it's a fantastic sequence in the film.
Yeah, nobody likes that movie.
It's pretty much universally hated.
I think once everybody flies in and whatnot, and it turns into like the clones coming down, I'm really on board with it.
Yes.
The green screening with the animals and the gladiatorial ring before that.
Oh, yeah.
It was like,
it's not your jam.
Well, it was cool the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then going back and rewatching it, it becomes fine ultimately.
Yeah.
And it takes me out of... a little bit right when they get into. But it is badass to see all the Jedis now surrounded on all fronts.
Yeah.
Suddenly, out of nowhere, they're taking on a huge other galactic force.
Yeah.
It is cool to see them back on their heels because, the Jedi had to get there eventually some way.
Yeah. It's cool to see that all the different Jedi fight, too.
Uh-huh.
And see all the different styles that they fight in and the different species of Jedi. You know, that stuff is cool.
Yeah, without a doubt. It is. It is because you don't know... Like how does this guy with the weird tentacle dread things?
Right.
The dread things?
Right.
Like do those flop around? Like how big a deal is that on the battlefield?
Yeah.
It's very cool. It's the best part of that movie, I think. The troopers in the sandstorm. Because then, like as the blaster go through the sand, it actually lights up the sand that's passing and whatnot. The CGI is really fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just like wow, this is Star Wars to me. This is. Huge scale. I understand all of it.
Yeah. That's the thing about the prequels. Even within the prequels, there are, whether you'll hate them or like them or love them, there are great sequences within the prequels that are pure, unadulterated Star Wars.
Yes.
Authentic Star Wars. And when they happen, you're just like, oh, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. This is why I keep coming back to this series or this franchise, because these moments are possible.
Well, it creates – like they created this impossible standard And yeah. Every once and again, they do. They ebb right back to it, or maybe now raise it a little bit, mm-hmm. and then it ebbs back, and it's just like this tidal kind of thing.
Yeah,
it'd be really difficult to do that for an entire. Like, there's no way you can please all of us.
No, right, exactly.
One that seems universal to us is Rogue One. There are numerous people in our groups and all that stuff. Yeah. They're like, it's my least favorite of the newest.
That's mind-blowing.
I know. I want to sit down and have it like a rat, just a conversation of what. Mm-hmm. Where does it, you know, falter so hard that it's your least favorite?
I almost want to sit down with those people and do a commentary track as we're watching it.
Okay.
So I can find out, like, where is it that you think it falls apart?
Yeah, but then we need to,
work?
Like, stop it because now we had a 15-minute discussion and we glossed over something else that they hate. And you're like, really? I think if nothing else, the Vader at the end, if you didn't like the rest of the movie, is so pitch perfect. It's like, well, that's that moment in and of itself
yeah.
is better than everything in Solo outside of the hologram of Darth Maul for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still think that's better than the Darth Maul. Like, that alone, that one little sequence, mm-hmm. just seeing Vader out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, mother.
And it never fails to give you chills.
Yeah.
It never fails.
I've gone back to rewatch that specific scene numerous uh-huh. times.
Right, right. All right, what's your number five?
Well, before we get to my five,
okay.
Why don't we take a quick break and hear this word from our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Oh.
And there we are.
There it is.
And also—
Do they play through this on the video?
I think it just goes through that 2 seconds. I don't think they cut out anything, so it's just us chilling. Yeah, we're just sitting here. I think about it every time and be like, and you guys watch us do nothing for 2 seconds, and right back in. Do you want to do an announcement now? Since we just stopped and
Seems
came
like
back?
The perfect time. Let's do it.
Yeah, why not? So, as promised, mm-hmm. we've been working behind the scenes, and we now are finally going back on the road.
Dun, dun, dun!
There it is, guys. We are coming to two cities as of right now, but we are working on more legitimately because we have people helping us now take care of this.
Yep.
The first of which, Johnny, I think we are happy to announce.
Yes.
It's going to be February 29th.
Dun, 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 dun.
Two shows in Houston at the House of Blues.
It's happening.
At the House of Blues.
House of Blues, of all places.
Doing an 8 and a 10 o'clock. Doors at 7 and 9. Tickets are $25 for one show, $40 if you want to come to both.
Mm-hmm.
And as an added bonus, thank you to everybody that supports us at Patreon. We should have a pre-sale code going up the day after you hear this.
Yes.
So go to patreon.com/the top 10 with the number 10, but you already know that. And you can get that code tomorrow mm-hmm. upon hearing this. The rest of you sales go out on Friday. So Friday we can make this happen.
Get your tickets. Hasso, I'm holding you personally responsible for Houston. You better fill both those shows. Fill them, son. You've been begging us to come. We worked this out. Matt was gracious to work this out with a friend of ours. I don't know if we can say his name, but
I don't know if we can or can't. But
work this out, and it's happening now. I can't believe the top 10 is going to the House of Blues. Whoever thought this was going to happen?
HOB, baby.
HOB. We're going to be there authentically at the House of Blues performing.
Yes.
So come for both shows. Have a great time. Take advantage of the cheaper ticket to see both shows.
Come on out.
Come enjoy us, and we're going to have a good time.
Come on out. And it's not even. It's Hasso. It's Babbo.
Oh, Babbo,
Bob Haley,
right.
The Menchaca Trio and their significant others.
I better see a bunch of Menchaca.
Yeah, there. Deborah Torres.
Yeah, Torres and Patricio. Yeah.
Yeah, there's numerous of you
mm-hmm.
that we know are all over Houston. Houston's not so far.
Yeah.
All over, I think some of the Menchacas live in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Because they were pulling for San Antonio. But
you can make the drive.
Yeah, you can make it. Come on. February 29th, Saturday. It's a time of year where they got nothing competing against it. Come out. Come hang with us.
Yeah.
Come do two shows. It'll be a shitload of fun.
Yes.
I can't wait. Looking forward. Happily, happy to finally announce because we've been tentatively.
We have been.
Yeah. It's been a back and forth of trying to find dates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But eventually we found it. And then our second announcement.
Yeah. This is huge. Bum, 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 bum. I lost it at that point. Look, we're coming back to England.
I
gotta put Corningstone on the air.
This one's further in advance, and we're hoping to, this early announcement, we're hoping to work in maybe a city in between these or one right after or something like that. We're working on more dates, but this is what we got for right now. London just came through the wire. We got the contract. We figured might as well go ahead and tell you.
Yeah.
Tickets may be out on sale right now.
As you listen to this.
As you listen to this.
Yeah.
But we'll firm that up, and we can put an announcement out for that. But May 2nd, we're doing just one show. But what we did, we worked with, we're going back to the same place, King's Place. And we're doing the Hall 1.
Hall 1.
So it's the 400-seater.
We promised that we would go back and do the bigger theater.
Yes.
And now it's happening. 400 seats. This is a hell of a thing we're taking on. I hope we can do it and fill it out.
I know we can.
But it depends on you all.
I know we can. And we kept ticket prices cheap by London standards. It's £30.
£30 a ticket.
And we're also, we booked the room for longer than we have for any singular show.
Yep.
So we're going to do probably 2.5 hours. We're going to give you a longer show, too. So bring people out.
And we're most likely going to do a Q&A as well at some point.
Or something like that, yeah.
Either after the show or before the show, before we start the show. But it's going to be a show and some Q&A stuff going on. So it's a very interactive sequence or situation. And those of you who came to see us earlier this year, you know we love interacting with our fans from all over Europe. And the U.S., because a lot of people came from the U.S., and England, of course.
We had,
and it was a blast.
Canadians, we had Americans.
We had Swedish people.
Oh, we had, I think it was 11 or 12 of the European Union countries represented within that audience.
Yeah.
People flew in, you know, that day from all over.
Yeah.
From Germany, I think France, the Netherlands, Sweden.
Do we have Ukraine? Or Bulgaria or Georgia, like one of those places, Eastern European places, I thought.
I can't remember. I remember we didn't have anybody from Italy. We had Spain and Portugal.
We had New Zealand people.
Ah, there you go.
I remember that.
Basically, we had Scottish, Irish, Welsh. Anyway, from so many countries. So we're coming out. We're doing it on a Saturday again. And that was the earliest date we could get where we could get Hall 1 and basically – they're not double booked that night, and we were allowed to take more of the time to give you guys a longer show because we can't do two at that location. And we already have a working relationship. They were great.
Yes.
We're excited to go back. Like, the staff was fantastic. It was easy to get in. It was nice. Great sound. Great everything. It was just a great experience overall. And then you go look at Hall 1, and you're like, this could be a lot even more fun, guys. It looks cool as shit. It's one of the best live venues for this you're ever going to see. Like, just for two assholes talking about something they never made.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. And it's just beautiful wood paneling and acoustic foam. And just
we're going to have balconies.
Yeah, about a second tier.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's a thing of modern, you know, beautiful architecture.
Yeah, maybe we'll fly in or something. I don't know.
But yeah, everybody there was so nice. We were excited to go back. So May 2nd, look for that. £30. Show's at 8. Doors will open at 7. Grab a drink beforehand. There'll be a bar there. We know that. And we'll give you a nice long show that evening.
Grab me a couple drinks, for God's sakes. Yeah, let's do this. I'm excited. So there you go. Houston and London. We are coming back to London. We are going to Houston as the Top 10 show. This is going to be a blast. Get your tickets now.
Houston
get
especially.
Get them as soon as possible. Yeah, Houston, because this is going to sell out. We sell out every place we go. So
we have.
It happens. So get your tickets now.
And the double ticket thing.
Oh, that
That's going to – if you just want to come to one show, then honestly, get them quick because the double tickets end up, you know, taking a lot of both
they
shows.
Do.
They will. And that's why we do it.
Yeah.
That is entirely why we do it. We get the demand of, you know, I would see two. I would see three and be like, well, three's pushing it. But we could do two in a night.
Yeah, exactly.
We could. Three, by that third one, what do you want to talk about?
Exactly.
Fuck, I don't want to talk about 10 movies right now.
Three would be the next week, next day.
We'd have to,
Yeah, we'd have to relax the whole day and then come and do a third show.
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually, if this goes well enough, be like, yeah, we'll be there Friday, Saturday night doing two shows a night or something, or a show a night.
Maybe even a Sunday matinee.
Yeah. Or fly into somewhere and be like, we're here Friday night, and then we take, you know, a bus over to here.
Yeah, oh, yeah, to another venue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Something like that.
What about a bus?
Well, I was thinking tour bus, but why would we, if we're flying in for one date?
Let me tell you something right now. If the Top 10 ends up with a tour bus... that'll be everything.
Well, then we could just do, hey, you're going to fly to the Midwest and you're going to do all the biggest cities over the course of 2 weeks. So you need the bus because you're going from Indy up to Chicago, Detroit. You're just like doing a big kind of horseshoe thing around and then you end up back to here and then you fly back out.
Yeah. And we'll have special merchandise, of course, available for the people who are coming to see us live. So you'll enjoy that as well. So.
Yeah. We'll have the live shirts we had in the past. And then we have other ideas of we should be able to potentially get one of them off the ground before London for sure. But Houston, you know, the holidays, the only thing slowing us down.
Right, right.
But beyond that, it could totally happen. So we'll definitely have some live merch for you there. But please, come on out. Yeah. You demanded it. We're giving it to you. A shitload of work and grief went into this for you and for us. But for you. So please come out. We would love to meet each and every one of you.
Absolutely.
It's been a blast every time, and people have been nothing but nice.
Yes, you incredibly
nice. Like Blair yesterday, just our fans are some of the nicest, mm-hmm. most down-to-earth, genuine people. It's shocking.
Yeah.
Because I'm me. You know what I mean? It's I'm incapable of taking other people's love, so the fact that someone would be like, yeah, you're not bad. Like, I don't know about that. You really don't know me that well.
I'm suspicious.
You... all right, so my five?
Yeah, let's jump back into it. Your five. Number five, a Star Wars battle.
So within this, we only said Star Wars battle. We never said movies.
Oh.
So I cherry-picked one. I picked a bunch.
Cheating little SOB.
But I cherry-picked one.
All right.
And it's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. Did you ever see the Gendy Tartakovsky Clone Wars?
It counts, I guess. No, I never saw it. Like the movie, right?
Well, it's one long continuous. No, there's a Clone Wars movie.
You mean the series or the movie?
The guy that did Samurai Jack.
Right.
Did basically a bunch of short stories that cobbled together that they called the Clone Wars.
Oh, right, yes.
And the one that I'm talking about is the introduction of Grievous.
Okay, knock yourself out.
It is so effing dope. I wish we got this Grievous. We get close to this Grievous in something we will get to on my list.
Okay.
But that to me is the distillation of why I should fear him.
Okay.
He is, I don't know, he's like a spider meets a praying mantis with lightsabers in this.
Okay.
He keeps... So what happens is it's only a six-minute thing. So it's like four or five Jedis descend into this wreckage area, and they're surrounded on all sides by I don't know how many deep of those droids that just put the one hand up and have two blasters. But they've all stopped, and they're in this little thing going, why did they stop? Like, I don't understand. And it's because Grievous is at the front, and he sneaks in there and then just attacks them and takes them down one by one.
Wow.
And that is a terror, like watching this guy that can flip out and have extra arms, and he grabs two separate Jedi with a foot, like he's fighting somebody else, and grabs him by the face with a foot, takes it, whips him across the room.
Wow.
And doesn't blink with who he's fighting on the other side. And you're like, this is – how do you beat that? You see it? That's what I was expecting going into the movie.
Yeah.
And he was that at times, and he was asthmatic at times.
The asthmatic thing is just
– I know.
Why?
I know.
Why?
I mean, he's a broken individual. I get it, but he's so much machine parts. Why would you need his lungs to be that much of a heart?
Or a hindrance. A hindrance.
Yeah. A brain for sure.
Yeah.
You can't take that away because then he's just robot. So why does he still have a heart and lungs and stuff?
It's a very good point.
It doesn't make a whole lot. Anyway.
Yeah.
But watch, it's like 6 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube if you really want to.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of them that are really interesting.
I'm going to set it up on my
Mace
on my
Windu takes out practically an entire army on his own, and it's badass to watch.
Okay.
He does a couple force moves. You're like, oh, that's cool. I've never thought about that. Like jumping up so high, and when he comes down, it's almost like a superhero landing, but it creates a seismic wave. I think that's his.
Okay.
That's pretty sweet. There's one where there's a dude, so he's on a speeder, but the way they designed it, it's more like a Harley, and he's got a jousting thing that just instantly cuts through whatever he comes up against.
Wow.
And it's really cool.
Okay.
He fights in a city, and it's against Obi-Wan and Anakin, and it's like this big city one that's just a battle, and it's like 6 minutes long.
That's badass. Okay.
If you like Tartakovsky's animation, it's really interesting.
Okay. Is it the battle? It's not the Battle of Coruscant. It's something else.
No. This is on some desolate planet. You don't ever see anything else of it.
Okay. Oh, General Grievous versus the Jedi.
Sure.
Oh.
Is it like 6 minutes long?
Yeah. 6 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah. It's badass.
Wow. Okay.
There's a whole bunch of those.
Okay. I can see the animation. Totally. It's Tartakovsky. Yeah. Yep.
But then there's a good Yoda one.
There's
a whole bunch of them where they explore all kinds of little facets of all the different battles going on.
Wow.
Okay. And this to me, once I saw that, and this was before the movie came out, I was like, oh, Grievous.
Yeah.
I'm now pushing this guy is better than Maul. Like, yeah, did yourself, George.
Right.
And then you see it and you're like, he's fucking okay. It kind of is, it kind of isn't.
He's got that asthma.
Yeah.
All right. My number five is the Battle of Scarif, which is Rogue One.
That's a pun.
Okay, fair enough. All right, what's number four?
Four is Order 66.
Oh, yeah. That's great in the prequels, right, when they go and kill all the Jedi.
All the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it eventually leads to Mustafar and all that, but you need that switch over. That's when you have the Grievous versus Obi-Wan because he finds out where Grievous is. And he's flown there to, what, force the separatists to go to Mustafar?
Right.
And so anyway, that to see it all go to hell, and they flashed where everybody's battling on all these separate worlds.
Yeah.
As dumb as I think it – that's what I wanted to ask on Rule of Two when we did it with Mark and, and Mark. Never realized that, I guess, until saying it aloud right there, Mark and Mark.
Yeah.
Had you ever come in as the Funky Bunch? Anyway, guys. Oh. Anyway. Do you like the name Execute Order 66 or just Order 66?
I like Order 66.
As a number, as a choice, because it's close to 66?
The inference of it all. Yeah. Okay. Order 66.
I'm still on the fence.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like it's too on the nose, but then I don't have a better solution.
Right. Right.
So, I don't know.
You don't like Execute Order 66, or do you like Order 66?
I do not.
You don't like Order 66?
Well, I don't dislike it. I'm on the fence.
Oh.
I can't think of something better as far as a number, if you're going to give it a number.
Oh, no, I love the number.
Just because it's so 666 and be like, I get it. But that's also, I guess they know what hell is because Han says you can go to hell in Empire.
He does.
But did they have the same version of hell? So is 66 a reference to 666? So they have the Bible?
Maybe.
Or that's universal. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird – that's my – but I'm reading way too far into it.
I just think you like the alliteration of 66.
I just can't – I can't think of anything better.
Route 66, right? Phillips
sure.
66.
It's, so good. No, it's
great. Got that thing.
It's got a ring to it.
It does.
It really does.
It does.
Maybe right. 99, but that then
– no. I don't think it's the same ring to it. Because I think you're right. I think the inference of – being one more digit off of Satan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
The whole point of like, this is the worst thing we could do. What can we call it? Right. 66 without saying 666. But then, okay. That's the case. That's where my brain goes.
That's fair.
Welcome to watching movies with me sometimes. That's not fun. How does that help my enjoyment of the movie?
Do you pause it sometimes and have a conversation with Catherine about shit when you're watching stuff?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't subject her. I just – I miss what I miss and I'll go back.
I'm a terrible person because I do that.
I can't.
It drives her
– of course it does.
In fucking insane.
It would drive me insane if I was subjected to
that. I'm sure it would drive you insane. I just go like – I just sometimes have to pause and have a conversation about the situation and she'll go, can we just watch the fucking thing? And I'm like, all right, you're right. I'm sorry.
But look, sometimes I'll have it because I don't really care what's going on.
Right.
So it's just like, sure, let's have a discussion because right now whatever is fluff.
Yeah.
But yeah, other times it's just like, I missed something. I need to focus in on this. I don't want to have the conversation because maybe this will make sense in the end.
Well, the irony is that when I watch by myself, I don't pause it and have a conversation with myself when I'm watching.
Oh.
I just have it while I'm watching going along.
Okay.
So I don't know why I stop it. I guess because I enjoy the interaction of a conversation about a situation. And I always respect her opinion. But like, she hates it. Anyway, yeah. All right, where are we at?
That was my four.
All right. My four is, I think it's the pun from earlier, the Bela Coruscant, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one. Come on.
I put 66 in it because this one has like hijinks at certain times in the elevator shaft.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I was like, for the hijinks. And then ultimately they crash land on there, but it ends fine. And 66 is just all goes to hell. The stakes are higher. This
right.
is the pivotal. You need to land this because this is a harder dismount to me than the opening action lighthearted.
Yeah.
So I weighted differently in my head.
Okay.
But the opening when they're above – is so sweet because it's tranquil.
Yeah.
And you don't see the action below. And they both, for some reason, they're in, you know, synchronous maneuvering. Okay, sure. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing they do. But they both flop over the deck and invert. And then now coming just dead 90 degree down and just hell is right below them. And you're like, what a way to start a movie.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
I'm immediately like, oh, my God.
It's
It's like the beginning of Bumblebee when they were on Cybertron. You're just like, holy shit.
Yes.
This is incredible. And this is what it would feel like to actually slide into the middle of a battle. And how the lunacy of it all, you know what I'm saying? It reminded me a lot also when I watched that Game of Thrones episode, the Band of Brothers episode, it reminded me of that. When they're all stuck in that huge pile of manhood that's roaming around.
Which one, Band of Brothers?
Not a Band of Brothers. What am I talking about? The Battle of the Bastards in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
When they're all like in this mass of humanity and Jon is almost drowned by just bodies falling on top of each other, man.
Yeah.
It's just like that kind of feeling. It's like that kind of lunacy is what you're diving into at the beginning of that battle of Coruscant and Revenge of the Sith, which I love two pieces. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love all the stupid little details. I think it's when they go over the top, they go through the shields.
Yeah.
So you can see the little boom, and you go back to their own. So it makes sense because shields, you would know the frequency of the shield.
Right.
So you could pop in and out, whatnot. You're like, oh, that's a great little detail.
Yeah.
They have all these small little things over and over and over again. I know one of the – it's not an X-Wing. It's a the version before the X-Wing, mm-hmm. whatever. And there's a clone trooper, and one of the droids lands on him and like tears out. The top right. or whatnot, and he gets thrown out into, and it's like, oh, ballsy for Star Wars. You saw a couple dead right. clone troopers just floating out in space at various times. That's pretty brutal for, yeah. What Lucas, but he was much darker in that, film right. as a whole.
The whole trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
In that one specific, I mean, younglings,
mm-hmm.
you see the kid flinch.
Right.
There's a rule. You're not allowed to have actual lightsabers in here. Ours are fake.
Oh, my God. all right, so what's your number three?
Three is the Battle of Scarif from Rogue One.
Oh, okay, so that's your punt.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
Not much.
Yeah. I think it certainly belongs in the top five, so at least we both have it in there.
Well, mine, too, is the battle on the planet itself.
Okay.
Because you have all the guys left over from their Magnificent Seven, in essence,
right.
battling on the beaches.
Right.
Then you have them battling in the inside with K2SO and Jen Erso and I can't remember.
Yeah, Cassian Andor.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you. The three of them trying to get – so that you have all of that in conjunction with everything that's going on in the outer atmosphere outside
right.
of that planetary shield, which is super cool.
Yeah, it's badass.
It is really badass.
That's my favorite part of the battle. I mean, as much as I enjoy
– I agree.
The emotional aspect of like – Chimwe and Baze Malbus, the two dudes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the blind dude. Like all of, as much as I enjoy the emotional payoff of that moment and what happens there, it's the Hammerhead Corvette. Movie.
Hammerhead
You're
Corvette.
Just like, oh my God.
That was my favorite part.
Let's do it.
As much as I'm like 66 to me, I have questions. To me, that is a hammer. That's exactly what it is. It's really fast. It's
yep.
got a hammerhead, and this is basically a souped up tugboat.
Yeah.
Just fly that tugboat right into the side, drive it. It makes all the sense that you're repurposing something else.
Yep.
This originally, a long time ago, this thing was like a loader. And
yep.
the next generation, they souped up this and blah, 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 blah. And you get to, and they, when they call in, just remember it's a calamari?
Yeah.
Mon calamari.
Yeah, yeah.
Calls in a Hammerhead Corvette. And I was like, what? And then you see it and you're like, hell yeah. Just right into the side and drives it straight down. Sometimes I am an ape,
Yeah,
just like, I like smash. And that is, it was just too much ship and mass going into and the shield can't block that.
Of course,
and that's what
yeah.
takes it out. It's like, this is genius.
Yeah.
I love everything about it.
I don't disagree. I love it too.
It's a visual when they just get smoked at
yeah.
the end is so... So harrowing to watch, knowing
yeah.
they're all toast.
Yeah. And I thought it was brilliant to make that decision,
You had to. If you're telling the story.
Of course.
It wasn't, seven got out. I mean, seven went down, but, one got out, maybe two.
Well, everyone was saying before the movie came out, how are they going to explain these guys surviving? Are they going to try to retcon them into the wars afterwards and the battles afterwards? And then when they kill everybody, you're like, damn, this is why they never explained it.
Yeah. Watching it go
genius.
Down.
Yeah.
I mean, Forrest Whitaker should have been the first of it, but I didn't care as much. His his character seemed confused to me. If you want to say, I'm not fully understanding of his motivations at times, totally.
Yeah.
You can find the backstory of it online to help, flesh out and understand
right.
a little bit better.
Right.
I think that was unresolved within the movie, but that's my only real qualm.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mind it. I know people didn't like it, but I liked
it. It was fine.
The rest of the movie was doing, yeah.
Perfect
yeah,
to me,
exactly.
though.
Exactly. Agreed. Totally. So then my number three is the Battle of Endor, which is the ending of The Last Jedi. Or the Return of the Jedi.
So then the pun of my six that I went into
yeah.
a little bit too much. But
yep.
So you're going Endor that high. Is that for the lightsaber with...
The lightsaber stuff and also the stuff happening with the Ewoks and the whole battle itself.
Okay.
To me, the whole war, I guess. The whole battle. It's a battle.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what it's all about. But certainly the lightsaber battle is a piece of it. But... I think it all has to work in conjunction for me
sure.
to enjoy
well,
as much as I do.
What Star Wars does.
Yeah.
Hey, we're closing out and we have all these characters and might as well make the set piece super huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great. That's what we come to expect. That's what we love.
Right.
I only knocked it lower because I wanted more, I guess, maybe in the Falcon and whatnot. I thought that was really cool flying through the bowels of the Death Star.
It was.
And the Endor stuff now, is, like we've talked about, it's a little harder to go back and watch. And that is a big, it's a sizable chunk. That's more than the Lando stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's the, anyway, but it is pretty fantastic to see the back and forth as Luke tries to grapple with getting his father to come back to see the humanity that is lost.
Right.
Or at least he felt his, you know, he can't regain once again. The interaction with the emperor, and the emperor just, it's either I turn you or I kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
The devoted, like there is no other variation within these choices.
Yeah.
It's a pure motivation.
All the great battles have an emotional weight to them, right? Mm-hmm. It's important. And we just talked about that, the battle of, what we were just talking, the Scarif, right? It's
yeah.
this idea of, well, they're all going to die, right? Somehow, it's unfortunate truth that you see what happens to them one by one as they all pass away in the course of the battle. There's enough quiet moments, emotionally quiet moments, that lead to the weight of those deaths coming even more heavy on you as you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing here, right? You have to have the Luke, Vader, Emperor situation surrounding everything else that's happening, because that's the heart of the emotional weight of this battle.
True.
So that's obviously one of the top sequences of that battle, but overall it's the battle itself that I enjoy the most.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah, one of the most. All right, which number two?
Two is Hoth.
That's my number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gave a nod to what I think is your two is my number one, because it's not a pun from earlier, right?
I don't think. What? Hoth?
No, the other one. Anyway,
right,
we don't need to talk
right,
about
right,
it.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to me, there is no Hoth without the other, but.
That's fair.
Just to see the feet. Bing.
Yeah.
And the first, I was sold. I love everything about this. It doesn't make a lick of sense.
Yeah.
I love it. Because it still works for me as an adult. It's not one of those things of, you were a dumb kid.
Yeah.
These big dogs with blasters on their face aren't, you know, this is dumb. And then you watch it and you're like, this is so not dumb.
And it really was. And that's why it will always be my number one. Because, like you, I remember the exact moment sitting in the theater, seeing it happen, and you're just like, what is this shit?
Yeah.
And you get the enormity, right? And that's what a sequel is supposed to do, is to present to you a larger world. And when you see these things, you go, what are they going to do against that?
Well, they already had a planet or moon-sized death base. So it makes all the sense. If they're coming at you, they're going to have other preposterously large.
Right.
But I was a kid, so it's just like, Death Star. I guess Death Star made sense because it was basically just like a space a base, in essence. And it just had a big gun on it. Like, I've seen that concept or heard it or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
But to see just big lumbering dogs and, just, like you said, what do we do against that?
Also because the inevitability, because when you see them for the first time, it's in that, like, it's in that.
Yeah, the shaky.
Yeah, the shaky binoculars of the soldiers there on Hoth. And you're just like, what the? And then you see them in the distance coming three at a time. And you're just like, oh, my God. And the inevitability is what adds to fear of it. the terror of it, because they're just methodically coming closer to you to destroy you.
But it's everything. The probe that was sent before that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could you make a more evil-looking probe? And
right.
It's just metal. But it's got these weird, really sharp, dangling antennae off the bottom. Like, that makes sense. But somehow it just gives this air of creepiness of only the Empire would think in designing this. Like, hey, is there any way to actually shock fear in the heart of anybody that sees this? Because this is just a probe. Why don't we do it like this? Let's just make it creepy as shit. Then the big dogs after that. Hoth is just so amazing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I had seen a sci-fi movie that took it to, a polar kind of environment planet. It's like, oh, that's really interesting. Because usually it's like a desert or
of course.
A this.
Or some kind of like valley, some kind of ratted out valley or something like that. But it's never like an ice planet.
Yeah, like in Force Awakens, it seems like a jungle type of planet at certain points.
Right.
Anyway, just so amazing. Still works.
Right. And then seeing how they take care of business with the grappling hooks around and everything like that. The whole wedge situation, it was great as well with Luke, them surviving it. All of it was just so. So much fun. In the meantime, everyone's running out of there, flying out to the next place so they don't get overrun or don't get killed. All of that, it's just such a great way to get into the feeling of Star Wars, you know? I love it to pieces. It's my favorite battle.
But as they're walking up, they have those weird, like, kind of satellite array tower guns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The lasers, the collecting energy or something, and then they fire it out and pulses. I remember one like hits a knee and it just absorbs back into. You don't see anything. You're like, they absorb the blasters? What are you going to do against this? And they're leaving on the cargo ships. I think one of the Family Guys, where they did the specials about Star Wars, made fun of it and whatnot, but that you could fly off in all, you know, not infinite directions, but a lot of choices. And somehow the blockade has got you fully blocked in, and it doesn't make it. But who cares? It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so then
my one,
yeah,
which is, I'm assuming your two, is the Death Star run for New Hope.
Yes, Battle of Yavin. Yeah. Absolutely. That's such a great.
That's what it's called, the Battle of Yavin?
Yeah.
Yavin? Why Yavin?
Y-A-V-I-N.
Was that like the lead pilot's first name?
That's the location that they shoot out of, the X-Wings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the base.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let me look it up for you. So I want to make sure I'm right. Yeah, Battle of Yavin, which is known as the Battle of the Death Star, or as the Miracle of Yavin, was a major battle of the Galactic Civil War that led to the destruction of the first Death Star. But Yavin 4 is a base, so they call it the Battle of Yavin because it's coming out of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. So the way we name Civil War battles, the South did it by, I think they did it by geographic location, like it's the Battle of X Hill.
Right.
And the North did it by closest town. So it'd be Battle of Fredericksburg and be like, no, that's the Battle of XY or whatever the case
the
is.
Battle of the Wilderness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it was near a body of water or flip-flop those. I think it's something like that. So that's why I was like, you wouldn't call it just the Battle of the Death Star? Maybe the Empire calls it the Battle of the Death Star because that's where the battle was for them. And I'm looking at it like that. But it's – seeing that, type of movie magic still holds up to this day. It looks practically real, especially now that they've gone back and they've taken out some of the – around the edges of when they do certain of the old blue or green screen or whatnot way back in the day.
Right.
I think it's anytime they're not against a black background. That's why they always look so amazing in space. When they get them down in the trenches or whatnot, you can see like the way back when. But I was a kid. I didn't notice. I found this out on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they've gone back in the special editions and taken that off. But it's still – it looks amazing. Absolutely incredible. And to see this tiny little rebellion come up with the only answer.
Right.
And
once again, the sequence with Luke and Ben Kenobi, with Kenobi talking to him.
Use the Force.
You know, use the Force. All of that, the emotional center. Han coming back after he had left, right, to save the day. All of that. There's so many emotionally fun, great moments in that battle. Oh, and it's also a fantastically massive battle. And seeing those guns on the top of the Death Star shooting and whatever, that's incredible. Just the size of it, the scope of it, is just brilliant, you know, so and what it symbolizes as well.
And like, of course they would have interior defenses if something got in closer, but didn't know that. I didn't think about it. I'm just like, this is just a huge gun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge gun with thousands of other little guns. And then even more guns inside of it with the ships and whatnot. And then guys with guns. They got a lot of guns.
There's a lot of guns going on.
A lot of guns going on in that place.
You got to win.
So that was my one year two.
Yeah, Yavin is a fictional planet in the Star Wars galaxy.
Okay.
And so it's – and I think it's because the base is on there as well where they come out of. So, yeah. All right. That's our separate list, like you said, Matt. And let's put this thing together.
Let's combine them. So
we have to flip, I think.
Well, it's new – I think we are. New Hope versus Empire.
Yeah.
All right.
I get your logic that we don't have Hoth without Yavin. But that doesn't mean Hoth isn't the better battle.
Pound for pound. For me, it's like – still on the Pixar, give the nod to Toy Story, because without you, I don't have all these other amazing. I think it's your turn.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. For those of you who don't know, this is the coin. It has a Superman. It has a Batman logo. Let's see what there. And we flip it. So let's flip it.
And what do you got?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Boom, right there. We know what should have happened, guys. And that is what happened. I wonder,
It is Batman, so.
One of our admins, the individuals that help us out with the Facebook page, either Hasso or Miss Kristen Smith or Mr. Alex Agos, put a poll up. What do you guys should think should be number one between the two of them?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see.
Is it the Battle of Yavin or the Battle of Hoth?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Please set that up. I want to see what those numbers are. Let's get a lot of votes in here. You know, one of those things. There's already so much stuff going on over there. Why not do one for us?
Just add another thing to it.
Yeah, why not? all right, so we're saying a New Hope Death Star.
Yes.
Or Battle of Yavin.
Oh, yeah, I'll go get the things while you. I always forget.
And that was a New Hope, and then we will say Hoth. Ooh. Therefore, Empire Strikes Back. Three. We both had Battle of Scarif 3-5. I think that's the next highest.
Okay. Yeah, that works. As long as in the top three, that's all. Or top five, that's all that matters. I have Endor at 3.
You have okay. I've got that at 6.
All okay.
Right. All right. So I said Battle of Endor. All right. So Scarif, I got 66, which you don't have. What's your next highest?
Let's see here. The Battle of Endor, Battle of Coruscant from Revenge of the Sith.
At what number?
Number 4.
Yep, that goes next.
Okay. We should have like Star Wars music playing, but then again, they'd probably pull the video.
Yeah, we don't need that. They're pulling copyrights.
Yeah. my next one is number 6. Where are you at?
I've got my 4 and 5.
Okay.
But we don't have – so we have an Attack of the Clones. Yours was the Geonosis?
Yeah, Battle of Geonosis.
At where?
6.
All right. So we should do that next.
Okay.
Well, and we have a kind of – I have a smaller part of it, so it
all
makes –
all right. So it's combos?
Yeah. Combo.
Yeah.
All right. My 4 then was Execute 66.
Okay. That goes there. Execute Order 66. This wouldn't work. Execute Order 12.
I don't have a better number.
Order 37 and a half.
We both kind of have that one battle, although I've got the hyperdrive jump into battle of what?
That's the opening battle of – oh, no. That's the Battle of Crait. Those are two separate battles. But if you want to combine them, we can combine them. But well, it's two separate battles.
All right. Then my next highest is – because we don't have any other than combos, I don't believe. Okay. My next highest is number 5, the Gendy Tartakovsky intro to Grievous. I don't know what it's called.
I guess it gets in. It's the Battle of Garda, Grievous versus the Jedi.
Battle of Grievous versus Jedi? Just Grievous versus Jedi.
Grievous versus Jedi. What number is that one?
That's 8.
Ooh. Getting tight. Do we put Geonosis in already?
Yes.
Okay.
Geonosis was 6.
All right, so my number 7 is the open battle of The Last Jedi, which is the dropping bombs and everything like that.
You're what number?
7.
All right, so I've got... Sorry, I have to go up. We did. So my 7 is that hyperdrive jump. And yours was what again? I apologize.
7 was the opening battle of The Last Jedi. Why don't we put that open? Why don't we put the hyper thing there / Battle of Crait? Right? Do we have 2 slots left or 3?
Yeah,
slots?
Yeah, 2 slots left.
Yeah, let's do that. The hyperdrive / Battle of Crait, and then the opening Battle of the Last Jedi right afterwards.
So you get 2 of your choices on in the last 2. I see what you're doing here. No, because you already distinctly said those are 2 different battles, so
okay,
we can't hybridize.
Fine.
So hyperdrive.
Yeah, that's fine. And I'm going to jump Last Jedi and put the Battle of Crait on there. Executive decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your choice.
That's right. That's goddamn
Battle of Crait?
Yeah.
Spelled like the country?
C-R-A-I-T.
That's how they get around it, guys.
All right. Should we do this thing?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. The top 10 Star Wars battles in the movies, yeah. At number 10.
The Battle of Crait from The Last Jedi.
At number 9.
The hyperdrive jump in The Last Jedi.
At number 8.
Grievous versus Jedi Tartakovsky Clone Wars.
At number 7.
Order 66, Revenge of the Sith.
At number 6.
Battle Geonosis, Attack of the Clones.
At number 5.
Battle Coruscant, Revenge of the Sith.
At number 4.
Battle of Endor, Return of the Jedi.
At number 3.
Battle of Scarif, Rogue One.
At number 2.
Hoth and Empire Strikes Back.
And our number 1 Star Wars battle in the movies is?
Battle of Yavin, A New Hope.
Hey-o.
There falls. It is. So we have something that I brought. Catherine brought this home for me yesterday.
Oh.
We got a postcard for those out there. Hopefully you can see that.
That's pretty awesome.
It is a traditional mask and a gentleman in a white kind of jumpery type of thing.
That's pretty badass.
Wearing a straw sun hat. type of jazz, but there you can see it on the video right now. And this is from your favorite Mongolian fan.
Oh.
The guy that sent the postcard, yeah, with the camel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly. So greetings from Seoul, Korea this time.
Nice.
Sending, he sent this on November 24th. Got here pretty quick.
Yeah.
I hope this postcard with a mask, like Mr. Roca's mask, reaches you well. I have left Mongolia and now settled in Seoul. Though I am sad I have not listened to the show this past year, I can now share it with my students in a film class I will teach.
Wow.
And if I can, I will send a video of the class. Also, Naga the Camel, as well as my mom, his mom tells him. Thank you always. Always have fun, Jamal.
Thank you, Jamal. What an awesome. Awesome postcard.
There you go.
Look at that.
It is kind of an outlawish.
Totally.
Mask.
My God.
We got that in the mail. I don't know when they got it, but it came home Monday. Monday
That's
is
incredible.
When I found it.
Jump Mall, will you, for God's sakes, will you find a way to let me know how much that mask costs if you find it anywhere in Korea? Because that would be an awesome outlaw mask to wear. Jesus, it's fantastic. I love it. Both masks, I guess, because the other mask on the guy is pretty scary.
Yeah, it's
as
like,
well.
It looks like a folk mask, and everybody makes their version of that folk mask.
Right.
So I
bet
you could definitely get one of these.
It's a Wicker Man mask, I think.
Sure. It goes for that. And I like that in the picture, for those out there, there's two other little feet. Like there's a little kid in the background with his own mask.
Yeah.
If you guys can see that, I'll get up close on John's because it's closer.
There you go. Picture's in, I hope it's in focus.
There's the overall mask, and then. Look at those little feet.
Right. Looks pretty badass.
Those little feet right down there.
Badass.
It is badass. But yeah, he used to download the show and then listen to it on his commute on a camel.
Yes.
Through the steppes of Mongolia.
So he hasn't listened to us for a year.
Yeah, he's been off. Who knows? Maybe he just lost access to Wi-Fi or something.
Yeah.
And now he's in Seoul and he's teaching a class.
Wow.
And he's going to share it with his film class. Please send a video. We want to see the video for sure.
Maybe our next step is putting these top tens on a CD for people to like order, deliver to their house, and listen to. No,
they can already get it free. Why are we charging them money?
Well, if they can't get Wi-Fi,
true. But how are we going to get packages to them if they can't get Wi-Fi? That's pretty remote in today. You can get Wi-Fi in Antarctica.
Fair point.
On the space station. The space station has Wi-Fi.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. Fair point.
We could try.
I mean,
we could sure
just
try.
Saying.
We could sure try.
Another revenue stream. Be fun.
Sure.
anyway, all right. Well, that's our top 10 Star Wars battles movie list in honor of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker coming out, ending the entire Skywalker saga, apparently, or supposedly.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, well, you're right. We'll see. But the number one thing to take away from this, other than a great show, is that we are coming to Houston. We are coming to London.
Correct.
Next year, 2020, the dates are set. Go and get the tickets at the links. If they're not up by the time you hear this episode, we will be putting them up soon on our social media. So you can go and get the tickets there to Houston and to London. London, May 2nd. Houston is February 29th.
February 29th.
Yeah.
May 2nd.
Year.
Yeah, both Saturdays. Once again, Houston, it's two shows, 8 and 10 o'clock. Doors open at 7 and 10. Tickets are $25.40 if you want the two shows. London, it's 8 o'clock. We're going to run that one extra long, 2 to 2.5 hours probably. We just got to be out. We got to be finished by 10:30-ish.
Yep.
So we got a lot to play with there, guys, and we are coming for you 30 pounds. May 2nd, February 29th, Houston, get off your ass. I know the holidays are here. How about a Christmas gift to yourself?
Right.
To yourself. You make it out for the top 10 this year. At the House of Blues in Houston, February 29th, two shows. I think that's it for us this week, don't you?
I agree. Well, thanks, everybody, for watching. That is Matt Nost. You can follow him at?
At Matt Nost.
You can follow me at The Roca Says, and we'll talk to you next time on the Top 10 Show.
Stay little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, From Negative to Positive, brought to you by my friends over at State Farm. I believe that to have success, you got to play the game so that the game doesn't play you. You know, the biggest risk you take is not taking one. It's very important that you make sure that you make the most out of your money, especially when it comes to insurance. State Farm offers surprisingly great rates. They have great agents standing by helping you personalize your coverage. All this is backed up by award-winning, easy-to-use technology. It's a great price with an even greater service. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
I have been fed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.